I let these guys know that the Carolina Hurricanes celebrations are over. They were devastated. I know you've enjoyed them so far. Why are they canceling them with two home games left and without an X beside their name? The mission isn't complete, Elliot. This is George Bush in 2003. You can't claim mission accomplished.
Well, and what happened last night? They lose at home.
Yes.
They're off. They're all off kilter. Dogs and cats living together, worlds colliding. Yeah, obviously they just felt that it was time. And, you know, I think it was interesting. The timing of it was really interesting to me, too. And they come into town next week. They play here on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'll get asked about it. But I'm surprised they didn't go through it to the end of the regular season. And I'd be curious. I haven't checked today because I just haven't looked yet. But I'm wondering if any of the reporters down there asked fans what they thought about it. Because they had a game a couple of weeks ago, and I can't remember who they beat, but they won 5-1, and nobody left the building.
Yep.
Like everybody
basketball
was
dunk?
In their seats. I can't remember if that was the basketball
or the
dunk
fishing?
Or me. No, you know what? And I will say this, Ashley, about the basketball dunk. First of all, Trevor Van Riemsdyk, who did it, I was impressed how he could dribble with skates on. He actually did almost a crossover, too. But they made the hoop high enough that he had to jump.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a bad idea. Like, make it lower. He shouldn't have to jump.
You don't want him to risk injury?
No, not to do that. But I am curious. Like they said, they're here next week. I'm sure they're going to get asked about it. And the other thing, too, is, you know, all these teams now, they send out emails to fans after games. You know, how was your game experience? They want to know fast about what their fans and ticket holders, especially their season ticket holders, liked and didn't like about certain games. I'm going to be curious to see what the fan reaction is going to be to the fact that this thing isn't going on anymore.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be really disappointing. And we were talking about earlier all the missed opportunities that they had, things that they could have done on the ice, pairs, ice dancing, bobsled, just a number of different things that I really feel like I was missing out on. But we'll see what happens. They're no longer a bunch of jerks, I guess. Maybe they hated the nickname after all. But one of the things that I do want to talk to you about is the Montreal Canadiens putting themselves in a big-time bind losing to Columbus. They have a really tough schedule left, and I don't know the amount of success that they're going to have with the teams that they have left to face.
Yeah, the math is not on their side, and the math has not been on their side for about the last 2 weeks. However, they have overcome the math to this point, to the fact that they basically were in control going into last night. And that was a bad one. And you know what makes that game, that loss, even worse, Ashley, is, you know, Columbus didn't have a shot for, what, the first 7 minutes. Montreal had the lead. They were up 1-0. They were up 2-1. And they got blown out in the third period. Now, the only thing that really helped them out is that Carolina also coughed up a hairball last night. They were up and they blew that game. But, you know, they really don't have their destiny in their own hands now. They don't have the games in hand. They don't have the tiebreaker. They're really, their only hope is to win out and hope somebody stumbles. But I'm sure that, and you can see it on Gallagher's face in the post game last night when he did the interviews, Julian's face in the post game last night. They know that they really, they know what they did. And it's the worst feeling in the last week when you realize that you can win out and maybe still not make the playoffs, because now they know they need help. They're going to need one of Carolina. And you know what? The other thing, too, is they're probably looking at the schedule and they see that, for example, when Carolina comes in here, that's probably a spark start.
Yeah, it is, because the Islanders the next night, right?
That's right. The previous night.
Previous night,
so
that's right.
They're going to be looking at, you know, other teams. They have to count on help. That's an awful position to be in. They probably looked at each other last night and said, not only is that a bad loss, but that's a game that we had control of, and we blew it.
For our listeners, moneypuck.com, which should be sending us money pucks for all the mentions they get from us for free, 35.24 the percentage for the Canadiens to make the playoffs. So just barely better than a 1-3 chance. And that's not what it looked like 3 weeks ago.
You know, Greg, I can't believe all the years you've been in this business, You give it away for free, Greg. Okay. Make them pay.
I know. Well, I tried it with sports club stats for years, and then I found they weren't updating quite as proficiently as
you, what you say them. Is a website that I'm
correct.
Reading that does not pay me says they have a 35% chance of making it.
Yeah, this or just is... don't even attribute it. Just be like, odds are around 32%.
I did the math at 4:30 this morning.
Exactly.
I
played out all the scenarios myself. On my Excel right. spreadsheet. Here is the result.
Well, here's a result that works. The Buffalo Sabres have not won a game in regulation. They haven't won a game in regulation since February 23rd.
Yeah.
Jeff Skinner, this may shock some listeners, has one goal in 20 games. So there's two factors yep. for me with the Sabres. One, they are a hell of a lot closer in the Jack Hughes lottery than they ever, and let alone back in November. But just imagine they'd be 6 weeks ago. And so the adding him to an arsenal that already includes Eichel and Dahlin is a great place to start. But Sabres fans have seen this movie before. If I told them, Elliot, you're going to draft Jack Eichel and not see a playoff game for 4 years, Nobody to believed it because it's not even his fault. He's been healthy for the most part the last two seasons.
No, I agree with you on that. And I guess someone showed me last night. I didn't watch a ton of their game last night against Detroit, but there was a picture circulating on the internet. I guess some of the reporters took pictures of the crowd, and it was really small.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what stands out to me is the most interesting thing there is the NFL owners' meetings were this week, and Terry and Kim Pegula did some interviews with the local media, and they were saying that that they felt that Phil Housley was coming back, and in the last couple of days there started to be some rumbles that is not a certainty, that it may depend on what else happens the rest of the year, maybe how some of the player interviews go after the season. And that's always a dicey one. Like I know some GMs that say that you're really putting yourself into a tough spot if you let those make your determination for you, but it happens.
Well, the Rangers not do a total about face on Tortorella?
Yes,
just
that was
at,
one of them.
Only because yes. of the exit interviews the year before he went to Vancouver.
Henrik Lundqvist was a big one. Yeah. I remember that he was one of the people that said that they needed a change, and they made a change. So it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But what that says to me is that Botterill's probably going to look around, see what the market is, and see if the organization feels that there's a better option. But all of a sudden there's more uncertainty there than I think there was even a couple of weeks ago.
Can it be as simple as seeing whether Joel Quenneville would take that job? And again, if you step in, you got top three pick, let alone if it's not Hughes. If they go top three, top four, you get that player, you got a 19-year-old Dahlin, you got a 22-year-old Eichel, you got Mittelstadt. That's a great place to start. Everyone would look at it and go, well, I can make that work. Sure they could.
And don't forget that the owners there, they spend money.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I know the Pegulas, it hasn't been smooth, but one thing you cannot criticize them for is their willingness to spend. They do spend. You know, they gave Eichel a huge, rich extension, and they drove the bus on that one. So, if you know, one of the things you always ask about is, do I work for ownership that's willing to invest in the team? You know, regardless of what you think about the results, they invest in the team. But I wouldn't be surprised, Greg, if you hit on something there, probably testing the market to see, hey, would a Quenneville be interested? Would a Dave Tippett be interested? Something like that. And just seeing, okay, is there an option here that makes sense? I mean, really, a general manager is not doing his job if he doesn't do that. And Botterill doesn't strike me as a guy who wouldn't look at all options.
So do you want the Buffalo job or do you want the Oilers job? Which is more appealing? Because you have Connor McDavid, you have Leon Draisaitl, both have 100-point seasons now. And forget about John Tavares catching Alexander Ovechkin for the scoring title. Leon Draisaitl's two goals behind Alexander Ovechkin right now. Those are two very appealing pieces, but in a place that's been just a tire fire for a long time, which you know. So which one do you think gets the most attention?
Ashley, what do you have against tire fires?
or Edmonton.
I love Edmonton. You know, I was there for a year, okay?
I would probably take the Edmonton job.
Okay.
I would probably take the Edmonton because McDavid, And I would take McDavid and Draisaitl over Eichel and whoever you want to say his number two is.
Even if Hughes goes there by any chance, by some chance of the imagination, just say they win the lottery.
As good as I think Hughes would be, I would rather take McDavid and Draisaitl.
Okay, what a long day of exit meetings, though, for the Oilers.
Yeah.
That's going to be like drinks before we get started every single time.
They've got a big job, and the GM search is probably starting in the next week or so, too. Mm. So But the same thing goes on with Edmonton. I mean, for all – like, the biggest question about Edmonton is going to be people who are going to be interviewed are going to say, look, what am I allowed to bring in? What am I allowed to do? But it's the same thing. You know you're starting with a nuclear weapon in McDavid and another great player in Draisaitl. You know, again, that you have a building that makes a lot of revenue, and whatever you think of the owner, he puts money into the team, so you don't have to worry about that. But you're sitting there and you're saying, okay, you know, what am I allowed to do around the team? How many of my guys can I bring in? And that's probably going to be one of the biggest questions that gets asked. But people are not going to run away from that job necessarily. They're going to look at the possibility and say, I can win here with this. Now, they've got some cap issues over the next couple of years they're going to have to try to work their way out of. But again, I don't think you're going to see too many people running away from the Edmonton job unless they don't like the answers to the questions they ask.
Elliot Friedman is our guest. Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow night has the Leafs at the Sen, 7 o'clock. A massive game for Montreal, and they go out west, and they've got to play Winnipeg. That's on City TV. Anaheim, Edmonton, Dallas, Vancouver, a big one for the Dallas Stars as well, who would love to clinch within the next few days or so, and they're in Vancouver to play the Canucks. Yep. We talked last week about Rasmus Sandin, so it is quite apparent the Leafs have mentioned Callie Rosen will play and then come up, but this is nothing, to me, this is nothing more than filling time. He can skate at the NHL level, and I know people have said, well, come on, he's been hurt, but he has gotten 50-plus games in. If Gardner comes back, there's no conversation, because a guy like Rosen isn't taking anybody out of the lineup. Zaitsev's not coming out. Hainsey's not coming out. I think this is only, you're only in a Rosen-Marinson-Hall conversation if Jake Gardner can't come back, right?
Probably, but, you know, they've got a game tonight. They're playing in Utica tonight. Then they come home tomorrow for a game against Laval. I would assume, and this is purely me talking, I would assume if he gets through those two games, he's probably going to get a look next week.
Yeah. But not for playoffs is all I'm saying. If Gardner can step right in.
I mean, the thing is, what's the old argument, Greg? If you're starting your argument with an if, you're already in a bad spot. So, I mean, like, if I look at it as if he can play, if Gardner can't play, I guess I'm just doing what I said I shouldn't do.
I feel like you're a little hypocritical right now, Elliot.
Assuming Gardner can't play, like, this suddenly becomes very important. And I'm curious about seeing him, because one of the things that to me, that's the storyline. Like, one of the things we've talked about here is if Rosen was healthy again, he would be playing. So now he's healthy. He's getting closer. I assume if he makes it through the weekend, he gets a look. I'm curious to see him. This Gardner thing, like, I'm like, the most interesting thing for me about this is I think there's people in the organization who would love to try to keep Gardner on like an Oshie type deal, like lots of term, less money. And to this point in time, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to work. He'd be leaving money on the table. There's no question about it. I'm just the way that this has gone, it's only pumped up Gardner's value. So I'm curious about what this is all going to mean long term. Do they find a way to keep the guy? I don't know. I just find the whole thing really interesting.
One of the things that Brian Burke had told us was that he doesn't think Callie Rosen is better than anyone that the Leafs are rolling out now. Do you agree, disagree, or not too sure?
I would say, Ashley, that I'd like to see it first.
Okay.
Like, you know, you take a look at this has been an opportunity for people to grab hold of a job and say, okay, I'm getting this opportunity. You know, Daryl Walker, when he coached the Raptors, he and I couldn't stand each other, but he had one saying that I always agreed with, and that was, one man's injury is another man's opportunity. And this has been a chance for three guys to grab a spot and they haven't grabbed the spot. Nobody has made you say that guy is going to be in the lineup for the rest of the season. So the only reason I would disagree with Berkey is that I would like to see what Rosen can do, because maybe in a short time he says, you know what, this is the guy who deserves the opportunity more than the other ones we've given.
Because you're saying that Ozhiganov, Hall, and Marinson haven't forced the issue.
No, they have not. They have not forced the team to say that we have to play that guy.
Mm. And
Hall's the tough one. Like, I feel like this has been a bit of a lost season for him. You know, it's tough to improve and get better and keep pace when you don't play a whole year.
Well, it's Josh Levo, right? It's Josh Levo part two from playing, mm-hmm. like, what he'd get in, he got in uniform for 16 games last year and no Marley's games. He was with the club, people forget he was with the club the whole year and sat for 66 games.
Frankie Corrado. Yep. Yeah. Same deal.
For our listeners, TJ Oshie re-signed in Washington, $46 million, 8 years, and they're players, so they can give him the extra year. To me, the math is the appetite's got to be there for Kyle Dubas to move off one of Johnsson or Kapanen. To me, it'd be more likely Johnsson.
Or Nylander.
I just don't see that. I don't have a stomach to watch that happen.
I'm just saying.
But, Elliot, it's funny. The fans love their young players right now. If it goes all belly up against Boston and there's a lack of productivity from either Johnsson or Kapanen, I think their stomachs will get a bit firmer and they can hit and especially if the blue line doesn't play well in that series, let alone the goaltender. But if the blue line doesn't play well in front of him, there'll be an appetite to move a young forward for a defenseman. There may have been at the deadline as it was.
Well, I look at it as the play of the players will determine the future course. I've always believed that. You know, we've all discussed, including myself, about who might be here next year. I think the next 3 weeks or even longer will determine who stays and who goes.